I want all the children who have been affected by some father to just salute all the fathers in the house. Come on. And if it's been a while since you told him how much you love him, I want you to take that time out today and show some love to the father in your life. And so, as the father of the house, I was at a function the other day, and they were interviewing the folks and asking the gentleman, your name, what department you're working, and how many children you got. Well, I was not part of the staff, but I indicated to them that I have so many children that I can't count them. And I told them not to tell Vino. But that is true. It's really true. Physically, biologically, we have two sons. And I want to salute them today for being great dads. At a time like this, I remember my own father and all that he has taught me, and what a tremendous blessing he has been to me. He's no longer here on earth, but I believe he must be proud if it's possible for him to see what's going down here. And so I just want to bless his memory. As I told you last week, I want to, for the rest of this month, recognize some men who have, in my opinion, demonstrated what a father, what a man should be. And there's so many of them, but I want to just take three for today. They don't know. I haven't discussed this with any of them. But I want Ambrose, would you stand? They just happen to be sitting next to each other. Lewis, would you stand? And Reimer, would you stand? Where's Turnbull? Where's Ocelio? Where's my uncle? He's not here today. These three gentlemen, I want to lift them up before you. So many times we're looking for heroes and we're looking for people to look up to. I want you to know that when I look at Brother Danley, for example, he's basically a quiet guy, but very solid, a very solid man. And any child would be proud to call him dad. I salute you, sir. I look at Lewis, and Lewis, as you know, been a part of this church for a while, and at one point he got inactive, and then he came back and came back strong. And every time I look in the usher's stand, he's there serving. And I just want to thank God for you, Saul, for the fine example that you're setting for your son. If I were your son, I'll be glad to say, Dad, this man here, he's one of them that give me a little trouble. It's in a good way. And I remember he was here, walked away, came back, but he's been solid, pretty solid. And the old name that he had is no longer. Amen. That's history. And I know Sister Diane, some of you may not remember or understand this, but she's tremendously happy and pleased to have her husband right here with her in worship. And again, if I were your son, I'll be glad to call you dad. Let's hear it for these three gentlemen. Keep serving. Keep loving.
Keep being a steady rock for your family. God bless you. Amen. I wouldn't even ask my other children to stand, because quite a number of them are in this audience today. I'm so happy and proud. Wow. So it's Father's Day. I just want to say this because, man, when I came down on yesterday, I was wondering whether I was in the Dominican Republic or some one of the Latino islands or countries, because the ambience, the atmosphere was so awesome. I'm talking about color, circumstance, and punks. I mean, it was just awesome. I want to salute the ladies of our church. You do know how to take care of your men. Amen. I want to thank you so much. I just needed to get those things out. And for the rest of us, let's continue to love God and to honor Him. Would you stand with me, if you will? Please stand. I want us to go back. Now, let me just let you know that I want to thank the men for staying in front. Wives and significant others, I want you to just put up with them for this time. We like families to sit together. But for today, I just want them to be closer to me. I feel a little strength and a little oomph when they're by my man. Are the men in the house? Now, I need an amen corner today. I should have two, one on my left and one on my right. Can I have an amen, brothers?
Amen.
Amen. I want to take us back to the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis chapter 12. We're now going to move down to verses 2 and 3. We are going to read from the King James Version. That is Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And I'll read and you can follow, or you can read with me. This is God speaking to Abram. He was not yet Abraham. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. May God add to our hearts the blessing, not only of the reading and hearing, but also the application of His word to our hearts and our lives. Now, today I want to speak specifically to the men, and it's okay for everybody to eavesdrop. I wouldn't report you. I want you to really zero in. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, a day that's set aside to honor fathers. And I thank you for every man in this house, every father in this house, and even those that are tuned in today. I know that so often men take so much abuse. On Mother's Day, everybody thinks it's an opportunity to show the men how bad they are and how absent they have been. And even on Father's Day, we seem to think that this is another time to get at the men. But today, God, we want to honor men. We want to lift up men. And we want them and all of us to know that we are special. So bless us now. Let your name be glorified and your people be edified in the name of Jesus. Let the church say, let the church say. Now everybody give the Lord a good note of praise as you take your seats. Come on, give God praise in this house. We're celebrating this month under the theme created for greatness, and I would like to lift up the sub-theme blessed for greatness. We've read our text. Last week we saw Abraham taking three giant steps toward greatness. First of all, he left his comfort zone. Somebody say, leave your comfort zone. Secondly, he launched out in faith. Tell somebody, launch out in faith. And thirdly, and the one that undergirds all else that he did, is that he looked to God. Tell somebody, look to God. Now, when the one and only true God, Jehovah, appeared to Abraham and told him to leave the land of his ancestors, he was faced with a very difficult decision. The question one should ask is, why did Abraham respond to God, the God of heaven, as opposed to all the pagan gods of his culture? In the stories of Jacob and Moses, for example, we are allowed to see the glory of the meeting, but we have no idea how God revealed himself to Abraham. We do know, however, that the experience ignited Abraham's faith and trust in such a way that he chose to leave the familiar and walk toward the unknown future. Abraham demonstrated faith by moving into an uncharted course with one guarantee, that God was with him. Now, we can't fully appreciate the steps that Abraham took without understanding the fact that his culture trusted in many gods, because each god had its own function or area of expertise. Each god also had its own designated geographical location, and therefore, to go outside a particular boundary line meant leaving the protection of a particular god. And so, rejecting all of this, Abraham chose to believe in the one God, Jehovah. In light of the cultural surrounding, Abraham took a tremendous step in believing this new God, that he was able to transcend all boundary lines and rule the entire earth. Abraham had to believe that Jehovah can not only be but was everywhere that Abraham was traveling. I need some brother in the house to understand that when you trust in God, when you believe in God, he guarantees that no matter where you go, he guarantees that no matter what you're going through, he will be there. Tell somebody, God will be there. So God, as we noticed last week, gave Abraham some precepts. Not a whole lot. He gave him also some wonderful promises. And what I like about this is that God's promises exceeded his precepts. Now, this was so wonderful that God said to Abraham, I want you to get up out of your country. I want you to go to a land that I will show you. Those were the precepts. And then God says, I will bless you. This was so wonderful for Abraham, but by extension to us, because I want every brother in the house, every believer in the house, to understand that we are the seeds of Abraham. Tell somebody, I am Abraham's seed. And what God has promised to Abraham is by extension promised to all believers But I like to single out to all men of faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So every believer has access, and every believer is a benefactor of all the blessings of Abraham. I want you to get that. Now, there are a total of 7 promises right here in this little text that God gave to Abraham as he summoned him to get up and to go. Again, I want to repeat that there were more promises than precepts. And these 7 promises deal with 7 important matters. And I want to just list them and go through them very quickly for our benefit. Somebody say 7. The first promise in verse 2 reads like this: I will make of thee a great nation. Tell somebody, God says, come on, brothers, God says, I will make of you a great nation. So the first promise, I'm going to just give you words, all beginning with F. The first promise has to do with federation. Somebody say federation. Abraham's seed would become a great nation. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but when you understand that Abraham was old, his name Abram means father, but didn't have any child. And to add insult to injury, God changed his name to Abraham, so he's not now only a father, but he's a father of many nations. So he walks down with his buddies, and they ask him, so what's your name? Abraham. So what does it mean? Father, do you have any children? No. Now you can imagine what that had invited. A whole lot of ridicule. But Abraham moved by faith simply because God says so. I want the brothers in the house. So sometimes all you're going to have is a word from God. Sometimes folks are going to want you to try to explain how you are great and how you can accomplish, and all you have is a promise, a word from God. And so this promise that God gave to Abraham has been seen in past fulfillment, especially in David and Solomon's kingdom. But it will see its greatest fulfillment when Jesus Christ reigns as Israel's Messiah. Well, as a brother here this morning, and as a believing brother here this morning, I want to remind you that God reigns in you. You have the capacity to influence others. You can do what Andrew did. Scripture says that Andrew invited his brother Simon, we know as Peter, and Peter then went on to do great things. I want the brothers to understand, you ought to be able to look around in this church and say, I brought him. I brought her. This is a federation of many cultures. I long for the day when the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every local assembly will look like what God says it ought to look. People from all nations and races and kindreds all coming together as one because of one man's faith. God says, I'll make a federation. So brothers, I want to challenge you. Next time you come, you ought to be able to look around wherever you go and say, I influence him. He's here because of me. God says, I will make of you a federation. Somebody say federation. Number 2, look at verse 2 again. God went on to say, I will bless thee. The second thing I want you to look at, the word is flourishing. Say flourishing. Now, the great material prosperity of Abraham and Canaan shows itself by a great fulfillment of this promise. But Abraham's blessings did not stop with material prosperity, but also included family blessings, especially Isaac, and great spiritual blessing. He was indeed greatly blessed by God. And I want to declare to every man in this house, every man of faith, I declare this morning that everything you put your hands on will flourish. Everyone that you are connected to and everyone that is connected to you will be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has declared, I will bless thee. Give the Lord praise this morning. And so I want the brothers to understand me, no matter what people say about you, no matter what people declare on your life, I want you to hear the declaration of God. He says, I will bless you. So when things go wrong in your life, resist the temptation to say, I am cursed. Resist the temptation of saying, I am jinxed. Instead, say, I am blessed. Come on, brothers, you're going to work with me today. Verse 2 continues. And the third thing that God says to Abraham, and by extension to us, and particularly the men in the house, he says, I will make thy name great. So the next word here is fame. Say fame. Now, Abraham's fame is uncontestable. For some 4,000 years, the name Abraham has stood above most names in terms of fame. He's revered universally by followers of Jesus Christ, and even by the followers of Muhammad. You ask anyone who follows Muhammad, and they will tell you that Abraham is revered among us. I want us to understand, by extension, that every enemy that we have, God will cause to talk good about us. I want to declare this morning that people may not like you, but they must respect you. I declare this morning that your name shall be a household word for generations to come because of God. I want to say to you men that other men will talk about and desire to be like you because of the God in you. Now, if you believe that, men, say amen. You will be an example of the believers. You will be an example in this nation. People will talk about you. And it won't be in the negative. It would be of the great accomplishment. Every time they hear your name, they associate it with greatness. So when they hear the name, I almost said, Bone Crusher, but I actually mean Clement. Every time they hear the name Clement, they will recognize him as one of the greatest softball players. Somebody say Clement. Great softball player. Every time they hear your name, the question is, what will be associated with your name? What kind of legacy will you leave? Let's move to number 4. Look again at verse 2. We're staying in those two verses. Verse 2 says, thou shalt be a blessing. Now, Abraham and his seed have given favors to the whole world. In every area of life, the Jews have made many wonderful contributions: science, aviation, photography, medicine, petroleum, and electronics, to name just a few areas, have all important contributions to Christianity and the world. As an example, the Bible is a Jewish book. An important lesson here is that when God blesses us, it is so that we can bless others. Brothers, I want you to understand, when God blesses you, when God blesses me, it is for the purpose of blessing others. As a brother here in the house, I want you to pledge that I would look out for other people, but particularly other men. And that's a needed thing in this world today. Most men don't look out for other men. We don't really talk as much as the women do. They have all sort of support system, but sometimes as men we get so macho that we suffer in silence. But I don't want you to do that. I want you to reach out and know that when God has blessed you, it is so that you can be a blessing. Now, here is the application to us. Abraham did his part. It is now my time, and I'm going to personalize it, to bless my home with my priesthood. I want to remind the brothers, every brother in this house, you are a priest of your home. Your children, your wife, and everybody, including the cats and the dogs, ought to see you in worship. Come on now, don't get quiet. You ought to be, as the Bible says you are, the priest of your home. So you ought to lead your family in the things of God. Come on, brothers. You are the priest. Not only that, you ought to bless your church with your talents, with your time, and with your treasure. Your job ought to understand that it is blessed because of you. Whoever you work for ought to understand that they are prospering because you are there. Listen to me. You need to put your special stamp of service on everything you do. I want to appeal to the brothers. All right, let me just call a few professions. We have any engineers in the house? Lift your hand real quick, brothers. Any engineers in the house? Any law officers in the house? Come on, lift your hand up. Any lawyers in the house? Y'all give me this. Okay, we can stay here for a while then. Okay, let me slow it down. Do we have any law officers in the house? Okay, now it's coming. Okay. Do we have any doctors in the house? Do we have any teachers in the house? Do we have any construction workers in the house? Do we have any real men in the house? You better put your hand up. I got you. Brothers, I want you to hear me. I want you to take this very seriously. I don't have a lot of time. I'm just about getting there. I want you to understand this. God expects you to do your part. This church should not be lacking in anything, because everything that this church needs is sitting right here in these front rows. Come on, somebody. This nation, let me broaden it out. This nation of ours, this territory of ours, should not be lacking for anything good, because we have good men right here in this house. Let the women say. And I want you to stop holding back. Get involved in church. Use your talents as a musician. Use your talents as an orator. Whatever your gifting is, this church should have it. Because it is through this church that you will glorify God. And wherever you go, make sure that you leave an impact so that folks will know he was here. You see, it's not the duration, how long you live. It's the donation, how much you give. Don't sit on your talents, brothers. No child in this district or any district where you live shall feel fatherless. No child in this territory should feel alone. No woman in this territory should be abused. Are you getting quiet on me now? Because every time anybody thinks about doing that, they will think about you. Because you are a real man who stands up. Can I have an amen?
All right, you're a little weak this morning. Now, let's move to verse 3. The fifth one, and we're getting there. Notice what God says in the fifth place. I, say it with me, will bless them that bless thee. Let me tell you something. Nations, and the Bible bears this out, that have supported the Jews have been especially blessed by God. Not because the Jews are special, but because God says so. The benevolence, for example, of the United States towards Israel has more to do with their blessing than most people realize. However, the increase in anti-Semitism in America and around the world could very well put all these nations at risk and become the enemies of God. So the word that we're looking at right now is friends. Say friends. I want to say to the brothers, you must choose your friends. And as you choose your friend and experience the blessings that God has promised, you will find that people will be lining up to be your friend. And all of your friends will love what you love. Come on now. All of your friends will want what you want. Come on, brothers, you need to check your circle of influence. Who do you hang out with? Who are your friends? Do they love what you love? Do they honor what you honor? All of my friends will love family. Say family. If you got a friend that doesn't love family, you ought to watch yourself. All of my friends will love church, will love God, and not be ashamed. All of my friends will love justice, not just ICE. Some of you will get that later. All of my friends. Scripture is very clear that a man is known by the company he keeps. If you want to know a man, and I'm talking to the brothers, if you want to know a man, look at his circle of influence. Look at his friends. And let me just, this is not going to cost you anything. I'm just going to insert this. We got a whole lot of brothers who are married that keep hanging around with a whole lot of single men. And that's not so bad because I would like you to influence all of them. But the one bad thing that happens, I see a lot of married men hanging out with single men and trying to be single. You won't go home to your house. Yeah, we get a little quiet. I'm not getting at you. I'm just trying to say, you got to watch your friends. If you got a brother who's married and is afraid to go home, you got to ask him what's going down, brother. How can I help you? Because we got some fierce sisters out there. We got some aggressive sisters. Some of them will put you to sit. Some of the sisters we have today are aggressive. They will make the biggest one of us to sit down in a corner. And that's why the brother needs backup. He needs to know that I'm not alone. Amen. Say ouch, ladies. All right. Let's move to number 6. We're just about there. Look at verse 3 again. Man, this is awesome. I wish I had time. So I'm just dropping some stuff at you. Watch this. He says, not only will I bless them that bless you, but God says, I will curse. What? I will curse him that curseth thee. Again, nations on the flip side that have persecuted the Jews have met with divine judgment. As an example, you only have to look at Babylon, Rome, Egypt, and Germany. They've all gone from major powers to oblivion, or at least to second-rate nations because of how they treated the Jews. I want everybody listening to me, including the women, you better be careful how you treat your man.
Now, it's always, you men, watch how you treat the women. I want to flip this on today. And brothers, you want to help me out here. Sisters, you be careful how you treat the brothers. The brothers ain't saying nothing. So y'all just like it? So then why am I wasting my time? I'm trying to work with you. I'm trying to help you out. And you just sit there. Sisters ought to be careful how they treat the brothers. Stop calling the brothers dog. And please stop comparing your man with some other man. I'm just talking to the ladies for just a minute. Sisters, stand by your man. And the brothers said, y'all want me to come down there? No, okay. Because I want you to get this. God set the man in authority. And brothers, you ought not to be fighting for a place in your house as the head of the house. This is not a voting matter. God has declared you head of the house. No arguments. You are the head. You sisters need to get off your high horse and talking about, I own more money. I don't care what you own. You are still the helpmeet. I don't care how educated you think you are. You are still. Oh, you all don't say nothing now, huh? Brothers, I want you to stand up and declare by your standing that I am the head of my house. I am the man of my house. I am the priest of my home. I'll stand like a man. Stand up, brothers. And I will protect my wife. I'll protect my children. I'll protect everything that's connected to me and everything that I'm connected to, because I am man. And I will not allow any other sister to think that she can compete for a place with my wife. My wife is one, not... Okay, now, she's not number one. Because then if she is number one, I'm going to ask you, who's number two? She is not number one, she is the one and only. Come on, talk to me, brothers. Y'all sit down. You hear a real woman talking? Talk, woman, talk. So be careful how you treat your man. God is saying, no one dare messes with you. The weapons will be formed, but they shall not prosper. God says, I got your back. I got this. You don't even have to fight no battles. All you got to do is love me, and all you got to do is serve me. And no matter who curses you, I'll take care of them. Tell somebody, God got my back. And if God got my back, why can't we have each other's back as brothers? Can you just say this, brothers? I'm more than a conqueror. Y'all making me work real hard today, huh? I got one more round. Say amen. Look at the verse 3 again. We just right there now. We're going to wrap this up right here. Verse 3, you may not see it right away, but watch this. And by the way, the one that I just gave you was 4. As I give you friends. Number 6 was 4s. F-O-E. Okay, got it. This one here, he says, I want you to listen to it. Verse 3, in thee, say in thee, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is awesome. Now, this speaks specifically of the gospel blessing. For the scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Galatians 3:8. The Jews will be a blessing in many ways to the nations of the world. But this particular blessing of redemption is so great, it is listed separately. This is the great climatic promise and purpose for Abraham. This is also the great and climatic promise to every man, every father in this room and around the world. The word is forgiveness. Say forgiveness. I want to spend just a little time here as we close. What God says to Abraham, because I want you to understand, Abraham messed up. Y'all remember the story? When he went to this place, he had such a beautiful wife. He was afraid of losing her, so he lied and said, this is my sister. In fact, he was telling, quote unquote, half-truth because she was his half-sister. But if you married her, she's no longer your sister. She's your wife. So wife takes precedence over sister. I just said something. Don't look at your wife as your sister. I know we call all of us sisters in the faith sister. So we sister Shashara, we sister Diane, we say sister Michiko, and we say sister Lorraine, and we say sister. But for you, that is not your sister, that's your wife. Amen? Now, she may be sister in the church, but at home, she is wife with all its implications. And the brothers said, and she ought not to defraud you of anything that belongs to you. And the brothers said, and she ought not to talk about she going to church. I don't care how you make it out, the food in the fridge fix itself. She ought to make sure that you are fixed before she leaves the house. And the brothers said, and she will not wear anything that's totally revealing. The only revelation in that totality would be to you as the man of the house. And the brothers said, they're a little slow, but they're coming on strong right now. Amen. And she will not allow the children to come between us. The child needs to go in his own room to sleep. And the brothers said, and if she's working 7 days a week all night with the boss, I got to find out what's going down. Because she must be accountable to me as the man of the house. And the brothers said, but that accountability, I got to fix it, is mutual. And the brothers said, But watch this. God is saying something very powerful. The word here is forgiveness. Say forgiveness. I want every brother in this house to understand. I was telling you that Abraham was not perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. He messed up big times. I can't even enumerate all the things he did wrong. But God says, I want you to understand, Abraham. First of all, I have forgiven you. Your heavenly Father has forgiven you. Tell the brother, God has forgiven you. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have said, no matter where you have been, I want the men in this house to understand that when you come to God, God forgives you. Tell a brother, I'm forgiven. That's critical for you to get. Not only am I forgiven, I will learn to forgive myself. It's one thing for God to forgive me, but I must also forgive myself and stop beating up myself and say to myself,
God has forgiven me. I'm not perfect, but by the grace of God, I will be what God wants me to be. And if I fall down, I will get back up again because I am who God says I am. And the brother said, and don't let nobody hold nothing about you. See, a lot of brothers and sisters will try to hold you to your past. Forgive yourself. Your son doesn't need a perfect man. He needs a man that's going to be there. And one of the greatest things that you can show your son is that you know how to be humble and say, I'm sorry. And the sister said, because I know you all feel that you're right most of the times, eh? And you're clapping too. Okay. But I want you to get this, brothers. Release yourself. Free yourself from your past mistakes. Don't let your wife, don't let anybody keep reminding of you of what you did. Yes, I did it. I'm not proud of it, but by the grace of God, I'm past that now. Come on, somebody. But not only must you forgive because God has forgiven you yourself, but you must learn to forgive your wife. Brothers, you must love your wife as Christ loves the church and gives himself for it. I want you to understand, you are your wife's savior. You are your wife's sanctifier. You ought to be there for her. Now, all the brothers know that women have attitudes, yeah? They have moods. And if you could say it, I'm going to say it for you, you would declare that these women must be crazy. Because you just left them in the house, wonderful, beautiful, sweetie, baby, can't wait till you get home. And then you get home, what are you doing here? You know, one of the reasons is women hold things. They don't forget easily. So let me just say this, brothers. If you don't like what you're getting from your woman, watch what you're giving to her. I don't have time. Let me move on. I got to shut this down. And watch this now. You got to learn how to forgive not only your wife, but your children, especially your sons. This is where I want to bring this home, because I want to bring to your mind a very familiar story that exemplifies how we ought to be as fathers. Now, I got to introduce this. I wouldn't want to, but I have to. Everybody here by now are at least aware of the shocking news that took place last week with this man and wife. I'm not here to judge who's right, who's wrong. I'm not there. I just want to point out some things. For anybody, male or female, to get to a point that this man got, that's a dark place. Violence cannot be justified when it's done by the man or the woman under no circumstances. So we are not in any shape or form. I want to say to the brothers, learn to accept the forgiveness of God. Learn to forgive yourself. Learn to forgive your wife. Learn to forgive your children. And I want to suggest every man in this room, treat your child or children the way your Heavenly Father treats you. And how does he treat us? I'll be the first to admit that I mess up. But every time I go to my daddy, he doesn't say, boy, get out of my face. I remember what you did yesterday. He says, so son, come. Let's talk about it. Come now, let's reason together. Let's talk about it. Would you let me go? Let's reason to get me together. For those of you who did not see what happened, the plant was trying to hold me. So you may have to edit that somehow. But here's what God is saying to us as men, as fathers.
In the story of the prodigal son, which I would rename because that's not the essence of the story, as I told you last week, the essence of the story of Abraham is not about Abraham, it's about God. The Bible is about God. God just uses examples and peoples and so forth to show us his greatness. But this story called the story of the prodigal son is really the story of a loving and forgiving father. And if you have forgotten everything else that we have said today, I want this to come home to you. I have two boys. They're fine men that I'm proud of. But don't you ever get any funny ideas thinking that they are perfect. How many of you heard the story of Mitch? We also need to hear Michael's story. You see them look like fine young men, and they are, but they are not perfect. And even as a preacher, when I was trying to grow them up, I never preached at them. You ask them, they have not gotten one sermon from me. I was always their father, not their pastor. Did they mess up? Yes. And they thought they were slick. I could give you some stories of Michael. Michael was always thinking that he was slick from a little boy. Can I give you one? Just one. Because you heard Mitch. But I got to tell you about Michael because he's always putting me out there. I'm coming at you. This isn't so bad. But listen, that boy thought he was always smart. I remember one day we had an appointment, my wife and I. We had a date to go out. I think we were going to Long Bay where we first met and got together. Ooh, okay. And so the boy, school is over. He was instructed to go home, to get in by Norney and get home. Okay, so we're driving down, right? And the boy is on the side of the road by Reimers. So we driving and we said, wait, that's Michael. He said, Michael! I said it in a stern voice, Michael, what are you doing here? Don't you know what time it is? Guess what the boy says to me? I'm mad. Here's what he says. No, Daddy, I don't have any watch. I had to turn my face to my wife, and we there killing ourselves trying to keep it in. Even me didn't see that coming. But listen to me. One of the greatest things about this story, and I'm going to break this down and wrap this up here. I see the boy prematurely asking for his inheritance. And children will do that. They will stretch you. They will test you to see how far you would go, how much you would have loved. Dad, I say to you, be firm. Be a man. And don't play one against the other. It ain't you that they like. If you give them their way, that's the one they like. They just like to have their way. So here's what happened. The boy goes out. He squanders everything. He messes up big time. And now it's finally dawning on him that I am crazy. I left my good house. And even the servants in the house are eating three square meals. And I out here looking at pig food. This is crazy. You know what? I going to get up from this place, you hear? And I going to go back home to my father. And I don't care. He don't have to love me as a son no more. I just want to be home. Hey, if you miss all of that story, don't miss this. Fathers, your sons, your daughters, your children, no matter how old they are, you will never cease being a father. That's not it yet. Here it is. Your children must always know that no matter what happens, they can come home. Because one of the things you need to understand, you can use a lot of adjectives and even adverbs to describe them. He's a bad boy. He's a this and that. Guess what you're going to end up saying? Boy or son. That's the one thing that doesn't change. He's always your son. My Heavenly Father loves me out of my mess. He looks beyond my fault and sees my need. Because every time that I would ever want to come down harsh and hard on my sons, I always remember how my Father, my Heavenly Father, loves on me. May God bless you. Amen.